By some estimates, more than 20% of adults in the U.S. provide unpaid daily care to one or more adult family members. Caregivers are often overwhelmed emotionally, physically, and sometimes financially. In the first part of a two-part series, WXXI's Beth Adams looks at how meditation and mindfulness can help them care for themselves.
Kathy Gansimer became the primary caregiver to her parents 4 years ago when she moved them from Pennsylvania to an independent senior community a few miles from her Penfield home. Her 93-year-old father has suffered two strokes and brain cancer. Her 89-year-old mother has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. She's in contact with them every day, managing their health care, taking them to medical appointments, doing their grocery shopping, and getting anything else they need.
There are different draws on me at times that can be pretty intense in terms of caregiving.
There have been times when her parents' health crises have coincided with the needs of another family member with mental illness who also relies on Gansimer for help.
That literally is almost next to impossible to handle.
The emotional and physical demands of caregiving can challenge even the most resilient people. A 2018 study from the Alzheimer's Association says as many as 40% of caregivers report symptoms of depression. But Gansimer has found something that helps her cope, meditation. She discovered it when she started practicing yoga.
And that just became something that I was like really amazed with, like what it could bring you. And just like a little bit at the beginning or the end of a class.
Soon she started meditating every day.
It calms you down, evens you out, centers you, so you're not as reactive.
Numerous studies have shown the multiple benefits of meditation. But in 2012, Dr. Helen Lavretsky, professor of psychiatry at UCLA, wanted to find out how meditation could help caregivers in particular. She thought they would be the perfect population to study.
And I said, who are the most stressed people on the planet?
In the randomized study, a group of caretakers was told to do a guided chanting meditation for 11 minutes each day for 8 weeks. Compared to a control group, which simply listened to relaxing music, the meditation group showed improved mood, resilience, and cognitive performance, along with changes in neurological biomarkers of aging. Lavretsky says the takeaway for caregivers is it doesn't take much time or effort to reduce the effects of stress. She says even slowing down the breathing to 4 to 6 breaths a minute is known to calm the central nervous system.
Blood pressure drops, heart rate drops, and there's a sense of calm comes in. And I ask patients to do that for 3 to 5 minutes. And maybe have a quiet music along with this.
That kind of slow and steady breathing is how Kathy Gansimer is able to focus during her meditation sessions. Sometimes she starts with a quote or a poem to set the mood. One of her favorites is from Rumi.
Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight.
Gansimer sometimes takes meditative walks. Another name for that is mindful movement, which has been shown to have some of the same benefits as meditation. More on that tomorrow. For WXXI News, I'm Beth Adams.
This week, WXXI is exploring how meditation and mindfulness can help caregivers cope with the high levels of stress they typically face. In part two of our series, Beth Adams looks at the differences between these practices and how accessible they are.
The terms meditation and mindfulness are sometimes used interchangeably, but there are distinctions between the two. Meditation generally refers to a formal practice. Mindfulness can be described as a way of living. A person can be mindful, that is, immersed in the present moment while doing just about anything like washing dishes or walking.
I think the word mindfulness sometimes can put out a welcome mat that is accessible, enticing, perhaps not inherently or by projection associated with religious practice that a person might not be connected with.
That's Harrison Bloom, Director of Religious and Spiritual Life at Amherst College. He's put a lot of thought into making Buddhist meditation and secular mindfulness training accessible to people regardless of their religious, racial, or socioeconomic status. In 2014, he launched his Mindfulness Allies project at a community center serving low-income residents, mostly people of color, in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And in the first night, when I asked people why they chose to come to that class, 2 out of the 8 people broke down crying, talking about how challenging their lives were.
Bloom said one woman told him she had wanted to learn meditation for years, but could never get to a class at the Buddhist center just a half a mile away because she couldn't afford a babysitter for her children. According to Bloom, moving a meditation class to where people are, rather than asking them to come to a Buddhist center, is also a way to overcome other potential roadblocks.
A secular or Christian person going into a Buddhist center may be a bridge too far, but a Buddhist teacher partnering with and having the sensitivities needed to work with and teach from a community center with a different population can be perhaps a way to make accessible this teaching across some of those cultural barriers.
Access to training hasn't been a problem for Lisa Thompson of Rochester.
I've tried a little bit of meditation. I think that mindfulness is more of my thing.
She learned about mindfulness at a retreat at Cuca College, where she works.
It really has changed my life.
She says she's more patient and understanding and has a better sense of self. Thompson's definition of mindfulness is being present in everything she does, from her daily exercise routine to conversations with her parents.
So often, my mind will stray, it will drift off, and I'll catch myself and bring myself back. And so on a constant basis, I'm working to stay present. And it's not as easy, well, at least for me, it's not as easy as I think it should be.
Thompson's parents moved into her home 3 years ago when her father, who is in his mid-80s, began losing his sight.
I'm originally from Jamaica, and in our culture, as in a number of cultures, you take care of older family members.
She shares caregiving duties with her 3 sisters, so she says she's not overwhelmed.
I would say the biggest demand on my time is just day-to-day things, shopping, getting prescription items, things like that.
Still, Thompson can't see herself devoting time to a daily meditation practice at this point in her life.
Because I don't always have the time to take 20 minutes or 15 minutes to sit.
If time and access are barriers to learning and practicing meditation, apps are another option for those who have a computer or a smartphone. A number of apps can be downloaded for free, including Care for Caregivers. It's an app designed by the Garrison Institute. It features brief, guided meditations. Some of them are led by world-renowned meditation teacher Sharon Salzberg. She says practicing mindfulness by focusing on body movements is probably the easiest way to overcome excessive worry and rumination.
If we are just walking down the corridor, rather than just being completely lost in a fantasy about what is coming next, if we don't have to be thinking about it, actually feel your body, feel your feet touching the ground, feel this, your body moving through space, something like that. And you will find that it's a very different day.
Apps like these are among the tools Katie Badeau recommends to the stressed out and burned out caregivers she works with. Badeau is a caregiver coordinator at the Western New York chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Caregiver support group meetings have moved online during the coronavirus pandemic, and she says not all caregivers are tech savvy or even interested in a virtual meeting. So Badeau tries to educate them on, say, what a simple breathing exercise can do to relax and center them.
You know, if you're stressed enough, sometimes you're willing to try anything. So our options are limited here. We're stuck at home. Give it a shot. Try it for a week. Call me back. Tell me how it works.
Badeau says there is a stigma for caregivers around seeking support and admitting they sometimes need help too. Lisa Thompson used to feel guilty about taking time off, but she learned if she reserves every Saturday just for herself, it makes her a better caretaker for her parents.
Take the time that you need, because if you're not well, then those around you won't be able to get the support that they need from you.
For WXXI News, I'm Beth Adams.